Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for January 16th, 2018. The time right now is 7:01 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutterback, Hanford, Rasmussen, Davis, and Campbell.
Thank you. And we heard earlier this evening that Councilmember Camp would not be here, so without without objection, we'll go ahead and consider him as an excused absence. Councilmember Scarborough, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations. This is the first and only item on for announcements and presentation. It is AB 18-011, presentation Downtown Monroe Association quarterly report. Ms. Worthen.
Yes, okay. You can be tonight.
Ms. Worth.
Joey is out sick.
I'm sorry.
Hi, everybody. You remember my last appearance. How much of this do you want me to go through? I know everybody received it, but I can go through it page by page if you like.
Just a second. Yes, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. In October, we had our second annual Downtown Hoedown, which was a moderate success, but we're building on that program and that premise. And part of our issue is having venues, which that's the most difficult thing we face. With the LTAC funds that we applied for, we're looking to promote that event so that it will hopefully end up being a two-day, and we're hoping that will happen this next year. We're not quite sure how that's going to work. We're talking to the Historic Society about the possibility of their doing their home tour the same weekend so that we can kind of capitalize on it. We don't know if it's going to work because Snohomish also does their home tour that month. We're looking at September. So, but everybody had a good time, and we just hope to grow it. The next item is, and these are things that I really don't have much information on. I did ask Joey, she submitted two grants, but we have not received information on either one yet. She did connect with the State Farm, and they're running behind, so we don't know if we've received anything there. Joey did a wonderful job. She decided to have these labels made in Monroe, passed them out to some of the stores they were very excited about. So it's a program that we want to continue with to help them in promoting their businesses and to help us promote Monroe. We've been involved in the Choose Monroe's information at City Hall, which has been wonderful and informative, and can't thank the city administrator enough for her support. During the holiday season, Joey spends a great deal of time going around and talking to the various shops and asks them what they need, what they want. She's worked up a terrific camaraderie with all of them. She took a lot of pictures. They are excited about what's happening downtown. We're producing a lot of this stuff on our website, which is still a work in progress because we need some help in that area, but we're getting there. The SWIFT program, which are the, I think you all know about it, I'm not positive, but it's the SWIFT birds that Kevin Patel created, the Art Project. Again, this is another one of Joey's ideas to have the SWIFTs made and sold three ways. One, we chose 25 historical figures from the city of Monroe, and those names will be engraved on those SWIFTs. They will be actually applied downtown in various locations. It's a good way to get, especially I think, our youth involved and learn about the city and the town and where they come from. We also are selling the SWIFTs to complete the art project for what it originally was hoped to be, but you know, I know that the funds were not there, so we're crossing the that will happen. And then people are buying individual SWIFTs, so it's a work in progress. the SWIFTs will be produced at the same time, so it's not going to happen piecemeal. It's just, it's not cost effective to do that. Joey's been attending meetings with the chamber, people from the fairgrounds, the city, to coordinate and create a calendar of events that are happening all over town. It's very difficult unless people funnel in what their projects are, what the dates are, what the events are. So what I've seen so far has been extraordinarily helpful. It's a schematic that seems at this point to be working beautifully, so that we're trying not to overlap when we do events as much, so that we have the ability to garner more of our you know, community to come in and participate. One of the things it talks about, the vintage shops wanted to do a Valentine's wine walk. That is not going to happen for a couple of reasons, but the main one is Joey did some research with the Washington State Liquor Control Board. In order to do that, she wanted to make sure that we weren't going to fall into a quagmire and get involved in something we shouldn't be involved in. And you have to get that license 45 days in advance of the event. They didn't get their all their ducks in a row to even try to do that. So it's something that may happen later. She also connected with Carolyn Eastlick's office. She's working on a new program, or program's not the right word, but new legislation to hone this issue in as to when stores and shops can do these kinds of wine walks, what the legalities are going to be. I don't know where that stands right now. I think it's still in the works. We've had a couple of instances of vandalism downtown, and we've had mainly in the pots, and a lot of these are in the flower pots that the store owners on West Main, on the south side of the street, had done on their own, and a few of the ones that DMA had planted were also attacked. It seems to be an isolated incident, so to speak. And we got people together and just replanted everything and cleaned it up for them and helped them out. We're working with the Mineral Garden Club. They're going to partner with us to take care of the pots downtown. So we see a lot of things happening as far as the community coming together with us. And it's just really an exciting time, and we're so appreciative of the city's championing the downtown, because without that, we'd be in a world hurt, I think. We really would. So we appreciate everything that you're doing. Anything else that I can, any questions I can answer? Or?
Thank you very much, Ms. Ford. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Thanks for the report. Appreciate what you're doing, rallying together and trying to collaborate with the other groups to better our city, and appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And no hand puppets tonight.
What's that?
No hand puppets.
No hand puppets. You want hand puppets?
That's it. Thank
no,
you.
It's looking great downtown.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Diane. Thank you. Okay, the next item we have on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is the time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Ms. Atkinson has a sign-up sheet. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Atkinson. The first person who we have who has signed up to speak this evening is Ms. Rosie Tatel.
Hi.
Good evening. How are you?
We'll see. First, I want to thank you for putting the sidewalk in over the railroad tracks near the hospital. Especially the lady in the wheelchair appreciates it. Now I'm going to hand you a different note, which you can read later, because I don't want, I thought it was 5 minutes, my 3 minutes to take up the time.
Please go ahead and give it to Ms. Atkinson. She'll run copies for me.
Okay, that's a different story. Okay. Now, I was glad to know that with the pedestrian bicycle path from Cascade View Drive to 179 is they're looking for funds for this design where they found. When I heard it was going to be, I was smiling until Tom Teagan said something in October to me. We're at the fairgrounds for an event, and he said Homeland Security wouldn't even like this event that he was running on the fairground. And he admitted, without me prodding, that they're closing that gate more. In other words, parallel to the fairgrounds, I would go through a lot. So to me, I'm wondering, somehow, can we put that into play with this grant to hopefully budget a little bit? Because now they're closing it more. I thought I was past the pot and I didn't. Okay. Then we went to Olympia to meet the governor. Took us 7 hours, and I was shaking like this because I was afraid I was going to get a blood clot and would be gone before the event we signed up for. I wanted to realize why I was shaking so they wouldn't kick me out because of security. I gave him a note because my voice was really like this. He asked me if we were staying the night. He gave me a contact person. I talked with someone, and I have his name. I'm going to give it a note from DOT for an hour about that area, and he could see on a big screen, so he really knew what I was talking about, the dangers on 522 and Highway 2. And then after, he said he'd send someone out to the area, and I said, please call me and tell me when. So I was also there along with Kim Heisner from our engineering department, and I was saying the car is going westbound, especially when not looking for pedestrians, going parallel, and I asked him of different ideas, and he said they're going to do some different studies, and one thing was the speed limit and other things we talked about. And I handed him the book that I had been going over, and I go, the DOT has been notified for a while. If something does happen, it's going to cost more to do a settlement and to fix it instead of before you fix it. Okay, and then we touched on the thing of they somehow changed the signals a little bit, that if you press it after it's in cycle to walk, it'll extend the time, but you got to make sure that it does. And I also mentioned to him, somehow in passing the fairgrounds, he said he's going to see if he can talk to you, somehow get them to get that gate open more, because it is a danger to pedestrians opposing that, especially when it's foggy. I made it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, but I'd especially like you to show after the cops that note that I gave you, and you read it first, because a lot of things from a walking perspective, they're not thinking of when an accident is.
Okay.
One more sentence. Tom Teagan said there's never been an accident involving a pedestrian and a car, but sometimes things cops do can make that happen because of the way they're detouring traffic or not.
Okay. Thank you very much. The next person who we have who signed up to speak this evening is Marie Divac. Good evening.
Good evening. Hi, a little bit off my original topic, but I did want to say thank you to Mayor Thomas and to the entire council for approving the repaving of South Madison Street. My neighbors and I are absolutely ecstatic with the way that it turned out. We no longer live on a gravel road.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What I did want to mention was I was very pleased to see that someone is addressing the removal of nuisance vehicles. Mm-hmm. We have a frequent flyer in our neighborhood that's been away for a long time, and I hear he's back out again, so we're all watching for him. But it's nice to know that you are looking at putting a little more teeth into the existing laws that are already on the books. We appreciate that too, because we know when especially that vehicle is around, the bicycle and backpack traffic doubles easy. So we're taking a page from when we had our neighborhood watch meeting with you guys. If we see it, we call it in. We stand out on the corner and take pictures of them now. So they know we're watching, but it's nice to know that they're putting some teeth behind the law so they can do more. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening on any matter related to the city?
No.
Anybody at all? Okay, thank you everybody. We're going to go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve the consent agenda. Second.
I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen. I have a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you, everybody. The next item that we have on the agenda comes under the heading Unfinished Business. This is AB Unfinished Business Item Number 1, AB 18-010, Monroe Municipal Code Amendments Regarding Secondary Fire Access, Upper Story Setbacks, Sewer Regulations, from Mr. Swanson.
Thank you, Mayor Council. Staff is requesting direction on three proposed code amendments, and so essentially you like the direction we're going in. Staff will take it back, finalize the language, and bring it back to Council for additional review. The first one is, it starts at the bottom of your first page there, and it's amendment to the street block design, and this is for secondary access or the requirement for fire sprinklers. And what we essentially did here was take Appendix D out of the building code, which was the fire code, and boil them down as much as we could into a sentence. I understand, based off of planning commission's past discussions with planning commission, this truly goes beyond an emergency and it turns into a connectivity issue. And so this is kind of that initial holdover until we can revise our municipal code. And what we're proposing to do in the new municipal code is actually provide connectivity, because essentially fire access roads are roads that are gated off until such time the fire needs to use them. It doesn't allow for that traffic from the neighborhoods to go through. And that, from what council says, that's the goal, is we want more of that connectivity. And so we can address that in greater length when we revise the code. But this first section is essentially just that holdover. So any new plats come in during this time, they'll be either required to permit the secondary access or sprinkler systems as described in Appendix D of the code. Number two there.
Before we move on to number two, do council members have any questions or comments regarding proposed code amendment number one? Go ahead, continue. Number two.
So number two, this is another area that I threw this in because...
Oh, I'm sorry, Councilmember Cutterback, I missed that.
Oh, that's okay. So let me make sure I understand. So the two access points, one just has to be a kind of an emergency fire access point at this time?
This will be two full-on access points. So it would be asking them to provide a second entrance to the plat, essentially.
Okay.
And so it would be a little bit beyond what the old Appendix D fire access
okay.
was.
Okay, that's what I was trying to make sure I heard that right. And then the approved, or they could have an approved automatic sprinkler system throughout, and then they would only have, obviously, one access point.
One access, right. And I understand that's where this code falls short of truly providing that connectivity. When Brad and I sat down and started working through the code, we ended up with about a page of code where we're trying to address all the different scenarios, and it wouldn't fit into our current framework of our code. And so we said, okay, let's just pare it back, boil it down to this minimum, and then when we go through and revise the code, we can actually make something that works and fits in with the rest of the code.
Because I know when we looked at that before, requiring that not necessarily tied to the access points, but requiring the sprinkler system and development, developers kind of balk at that because it raises the cost quite substantially.
For the sprinkler systems?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it would give them the option. I mean, they could put in that secondary access road and forego the sprinkler system.
Right.
So it would be one or the other for them.
Right, okay. But it's still, if they choose that, it doesn't give the access, the two access points.
Correct. And,
okay.
And that's what I don't think solves the connectivity issue that
right.
the council
okay.
brought.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. As I recall, last time we had the presentation from the chief, is that they still are recommending that we put in the code that it's required for fire sprinklers. That's the recommendation that's on the record from them, and we've not done it because of that. So this is kind of a good compromise, I think. From that perspective,
and it will, and even in the proposed code, there are going to be those situations where whether it's the topography doesn't allow a secondary access, they're hemmed into areas. I've worked on plats in the past in different areas where just by its nature, you could not get a secondary access in there. It was just physically impossible, or would have cost millions of dollars in engineering, building bridges or something like that. So in the new code, we will recognize that there will be those very few instances. There's an area. Areas in here where connectivity could have been possible, but the sprinkler system is that kind of fallback, where it allows that opportunity for the egress out of the house and some temporary fire suppression will fire to get on site. But so that's always been the intent of the appendix D in the building code.
So the
addresses the access for fire, but it still doesn't address the secondary access road for...
Correct.
Like we experienced on Rainier View Road several years ago, where emergency services couldn't, you know, get in there if somebody had a health event or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thanks.
And just to bring that back up to the top, the Planning Commission right now is working on the UDC, Uniform Development Code
regulations,
UDR, right. And thank you. And as part of that, this is something that the Planning Commission will be considering, is connecting roads so that when you have a plat go in, that there need to be roads provided to the plat boundary so that as future lots and developments come in, that they would connect to those. And you and I also discussed the need to make certain those connections are actually viable. They don't just open up into a wetland or into a cliff.
Correct. And we're running into that now in a few places where it wasn't, you know, essentially ground-proofed. And so you have these connections, but you go on there and it's a Category 2 wetland right on the other side. So that's, you know, those are things that we have to work through, but you're absolutely correct. Those are issues that we're working on right now, along with our, you know, street design standards and design standards and everything else. So it'll fit in with the work we're currently doing.
Is that acceptable then to council? It sounds like there was an acceptance of the current proposal, understanding that this other connection issue would be coming forward in the next 6 months, 8 months, somewhere in there?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Anything further, council? All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Item number two.
Next item is, this is just a code conflict that we've had in the past. We've had this older code in Title 1810 that required an additional 2 feet per story for the side yard setback. Our bulk zoning matrix, which is essentially the core of what everyone goes to when they want to figure out how far they have to set back off property line, says 5 feet. This one that's back a few pages that people don't realize is there says 7 feet. Traditionally, all the plats have been approved. Everyone's gone with the 5 feet, what's in the bulk table, and that's the one that's been most recently amended and actively used. So we're proposing to reduce this redundancy since we're taking through these other code, or this error or conflict in code since we're taking through these other code amendments. And so we're essentially striking that additional 2 feet from the code.
Are there any questions or concerns from council members on item two? All right, seeing none, let's move on to three.
So item three revolves around our sanitary sewer extension outside city limits into the city's urban growth area. And what we've tried to do, there's going to be some minor modifications to this after, you know, talking with the city attorney before we take it back to council, is requiring the applicant to enter into some type of agreement with us. We can't prohibit the extension of sewer service outside city limits because we are a sole utility provider.
That's correct. In areas where the city is the exclusive purveyor of sewer service outside of city limits, we typically do have a duty to provide service, but the city can impose conditions on that, and I think that's what this code amendment is intending to set the groundwork for.
Absolutely. And so what this would either require them to enter into an agreement or move forward with annexation at that time. If they enter into agreement, it's essentially a no protest vote. And so what happens is you have these large parcels out there, you only have one property owner to deal with during that time, and during annexation it's much easier. Then all of a sudden the property gets divided into 190 parcels. Now you have 190 property owners to deal with. So you enter in with that one property owner and you get that no protest vote. You essentially have that area locked in for a yes vote and an annexation. And then you can move to the additional parcels as required by Snohomish County or Boundary Review Board. And so that allows us a better opportunity to bring those people inside the city. I know we've had discussions in the past, but, you know, we do have, you know, reimbursement agreements or charges for water and sewer and traffic. What we don't have is, you know, things like parks or, you know, those people coming down using the city parks however without paying the impact fees towards those parks. And so that's why we really want to bring these people in into the city. And so this is a solution of taking a step towards that.
Any questions or comments then from the council? Councilmember Cutterback.
Just a question about the pre-annexation agreement. So when the property owner signs that, how long are those typically before we move to annexation? Like, is there a time limit in that agreement? Is there a set time?
As far as us taking action on it, it would be up to the city. I mean, typically, if you have all of a sudden a very large property owner come in and they sign this agreement, and you look at the remaining parcels around and see that, okay, percentage-wise, this will probably work for an annexation, or initiate that conversation with those surrounding property owners. We're looking at, we'd like to annex this area into the property. What do you think? And begin that discussion from, you know, start to finish can be, you know, year and a half, 2 years. It can be shorter than that, too. But timing-wise, it could wait out to then, or it could be a smaller parcel that comes in, and we just have to sit on it for a while until more parcels sign more pre-annexation agreements, or we get a feeling from the surrounding residents that they do want to annex into the city.
Yeah, so I was just thinking is, if you have a smaller parcel, how long can you wait before you decide you want to do it? It's worth a while, more parcels. Is there a time limit, like... I mean, is it specified in the agreement, or is it...
It would be specified in the agreement, and it's certainly something the city could add as a general policy in this code, just to sort of establish some general parameters regarding how long an outside utility extension agreement predicated on annexation would last, how long that annexation, no protest obligation would run with the land. That's certainly something that can be added here. I'm not aware of any specific legal constraint, but it is something that you can come up with on your own.
And would we have the ability to not go, like, do most agreements include the ability not to go forward in annexation?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, annexation is a discretionary legislative act of the council. You can generally not be compelled to do that.
Okay.
And the agreement would expressly reserve the council's discretion going forward.
That's all. I just want to make sure that if we enter into this agreement, we weren't obligated then to go forward into it. We can not go forward, go forward, and then whether there's a time limit, there's a time or... Okay, thank you.
That's all I have.
All right, any other questions or comments on item number 3? So it sounds like the way that one is drafted is well taken forward to the Planning Commission. Of course, you've had some conversation with other folks, and we'll be making amendments and whatnot. But, okay. Council, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, the next item we have on our agenda is unfinished business item number 2. This is AB 18-016, discussion, parking regulations and enforcement. Chief Quinzer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. November 14, 2017, citizens brought forth some code amendments, enforcements, and reference parking regulations that need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. We reviewed the three that were brought forward. The one that seems to affect the others most, that gives us the biggest problem, is MMC 1010030H, where it says that vehicles parked in a public right-of-way on other publicly owned or controlled property in violation of any law, ordinance, or regulation, and there are 5 or more parking infractions issued against the vehicle, for each of which the person has failed to respond, failed to appear at a requested hearing, or failure to pay. The way the MMC stands at this time, they have to write the person 5 tickets. They have to fail to respond for 5 tickets. And then on the 6th one, we can finally remove their vehicle. It is quite difficult to remove vehicles when you have to write them 6 times before you can remove it. The suggestion, I think, is more than fair that by the citizen was 2 or more tickets, and I think that's what it should be amended to. That would be our recommendation.
Okay. All right, Council, do you have any questions about the recommendation to change from 5 to 2 or more parking infractions? Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you, Chief. Not about H, but can you explain the E and the C and the challenges there?
C, there's a word in there that it doesn't hurt being in there, nor does it hurt removing it. It was That's something that we put a lot of time into on that one. And the enforce, we already enforce these issues on E. It would, H would help us enforce as far as the perception of the public that we're enforcing it.
And if I remember, the last time we talked about this, I think E was the type of enforcement that, I mean, obviously, I think we thought about that was the type of enforcement when it's called in. It's not like we're going around looking for...
But sometimes we do. In fact, in reference to this, in the last couple of days, I spotted two vehicles that... Okay. Needed some enforcement action taken on them, and there were. But also, like you said, citizens calling in. Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I appreciate Ms. Martinoli providing those comments and suggestions, and we're that's what we love to see: is citizens involved in the communities.
Thank you. Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions or concerns about bringing forward an ordinance with the changes that are shown? Councilmember Cuddeback?
No, I don't have any concerns. I appreciate the staff listening to the comments and then coming back with suggestions how to improve that. So I don't have any reservations about moving forward.
Sounds good. So staff will go ahead and put together an ordinance that makes the suggested changes that that are in C and H, and we'll have that back to you, and we'll discuss that when we get to the extended agenda then. Chief, do you have any further questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda, and that item would be new business item number 1, AB 18017, authorize the mayor to sign consultant agreement with McKee Appraisal Real Estate Services and Consulting for Appraisal Services. Ms. Knight.
Thank you, Mayor. So the issue in front of the council is authorizing the mayor to sign an agreement with McKee Appraisal Services to appraise the remaining North Kelsey properties. Those properties haven't been appraised since the economic recovery in 2013, and we're looking for two appraisals on a case, I mean, on a parcel-by-parcel basis, and then as a bulk sale as well. In the event that we have somebody that's interested in buying all of the properties at once, we're assuming there'll be some sort of discount for that sale price. The appraiser is Mr. Barnes with McKee Appraisal Services. He's been in the business for over 30 years. He's done similar work for the city of Bothell and comes highly recommended. The funding's going to come out of the North Kelsey property budget, so there's $15,000 in there, and this is estimated to cost about $7,000 for this appraisal. It'll take 6 to 8 weeks to complete the appraisal, and we're looking to have the appraisals completed in time to provide to our broker. We're actually interviewing two brokers tomorrow, so we hope to bring back an agreement for you on February 6th.
All right. Council, any questions or motion? Councilmember Campbell?
No questions. I move to authorize the mayor to sign the consultant agreement with McKee Appraisal Real Estate Services and Consulting Incorporated for appraisal services and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Gamble. I have a second from Councilmember Cuddeback for the request to action as typed in Agenda Bill Number 18-017. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Cuddeback.
Oh, no, I was
going to
make the motion in the first place.
Sounds good. All right. Any other discussion on the topic? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you, everybody. We'll now move on to the next item on the agenda, and I need to let you know that we are removing final action number 1. This is AB 18-019. We may be bringing this back as early as Tuesday next week. Is that what I'm understanding? Okay. And we are now moving on to council member reports. So let's start off with the City Council Legislative Affairs Committee. Who's our committee chair?
So I'm the committee chair.
Okay.
And we talked about the upcoming schedule for the year. And we are going to be changing our meeting times. So Ed, you're Councilmember Davis and Councilmember Scarborough and myself the one on that, looks like. Legislative Committee. Did I get that right?
You're right.
Okay, so that we're changing the time to 6:30. So our meetings will be the third Tuesday at 6:30. So our next meeting is February 20th at 6:30. And I think that's all I need to say about that for right now.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And councilmember reports from City Council Finance and Human Resources Committee. We have a draft for the January 9th. Okay.
Yep.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yes.
There we go. I just reading the rest of this.
So we met last Tuesday and elected our chair, which is myself, and really kind of went over our business plan or the work plan, which you can see in the packet today, to make sure that everybody could get a look at it and then make sure that we're all on board. I think one of the most exciting things, at least for me personally, especially, well, maybe because I'm a nerd and I like numbers, but after 3-4 years of being on the finance, and it was really starting to look at that 5-year, kind of look, that budgeting look, a 5-6 year budget assumptions look, which I'm really excited about, and I appreciate that, Ms. Hassard, for city manager for putting us there, and the mayor, because I just think that's a best practice. You do it in all aspects of business. So that's the first thing on the docket. We did look at 5-6 years budget assumptions. We didn't get through everything that there's a lot to discuss there and look at, so we're just going to bring it back to the 13th, but I also believe we're going to be discussing in more detail on the 30th, is that correct?
Yeah.
But as you can see, it's a lot more aggressive work plan around the finance and HR side of the equation for 2018. Some months having multiple meetings, but we're in a good place right now. So this is it's the time and opportunity to review a lot of this stuff. So are there any questions on the work plan or anything? That's a lot of the stuff that's there comes right out of either stuff that was talked about in the general meeting or specific things that obviously with recent legislations passed, we got to take a look at. An example would be the sick leave policies for the February meeting, which is a direct correlation to the new state law. So any questions?
Council members, do you have any questions? All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Councilmember Gamble. Okay. We're going to go ahead and move into individual council member reports, and we'll start off with Councilmember Gamble.
I thought it was like May this last weekend. It's just really nice to have did it really say 60 degrees? It's beautiful outside. And it always is funny, anytime we have a sunny day like that around here, it's like everybody comes out from hibernation in the wintertime for every moment, and it reminds me why I love it here so much. And that's really the part, other than just a great holiday weekend, and actually got to see all my neighbors like in the streets this weekend, so that was kind of nice.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
No, I have nothing this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah, I met most of my neighbors this weekend for the first time all year, too. park dedication last week, billing the new exercise equipment that was installed. I know Mike's got pictures of it in his report, and everyone's still a slender, but I just want to thank council for their support. Mike and your parks team did an amazing job down there, and it looks great, and every time I peer out my office window and able to look down there, I see it being heavily used. So it is very, very cool, and I can't wait for the growth of the of those stations to continue, not just at Sky River, but hopefully at many of our other parks. So thank you, Councilmember Hanford and Scarborough, for joining the celebration as well. The other thing I had is I just wanted to bring up a suggestion in regards to study session meetings, if we can consider moving the format back to being up here or differently from down there. Last week was pretty cumbersome in the respect of we didn't have our computers, and so it was hard to follow along with the materials. And plus, I know on some of them, you know, last week, for example, the with the police promotion and recognition of Nuke, those are normally a packed house in here, and the way it's set up, it just doesn't create much room for the audience. And I know next study session we have the I believe the WATV conversation coming up, which in passes packed the house. So I feel having in the format back like this would create more opportunity for audience to observe and participate. So I just wanted to offer that suggestion. Obviously, it's not solely up to me, but weigh my opinion on it.
Okay. And I know that one of the committees will be looking at the rules of procedure.
That happened today.
I'm sorry. That happened today. Okay.
So we'll be bringing those back for further discussion with full council.
Okay. Sounds good. So we'll go ahead and follow up with staff on the suggestions. I know that there was an interest in having the material more readily available from the table down below. I certainly understand that. And it may be until we have things under layout for council chambers where you have a more open floor area that might be a little bit more challenging until that happens. But we'll go ahead and follow up with staff. And thank you very much for those comments. Anything further, Councilmember Rasmussen? Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, it was great to be out there at Sky River Park for the grand opening. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I am part of a committee that has Providence Hospital that's looking at attempting to have Providence Hospital become a trauma one center, and currently it's a trauma two, so it'd be similar to Harborview. So it's looking at bringing services here in Snohomish County where people then wouldn't have to travel, and family and friends, if there's a trauma, could be right here in Everett. So I'll kind of update you guys on that process as we go forward. So
thank you very much. Councilmember Scarborough.
Nothing more than what's been said. Sky River Park and the dedication was great. Look forward to it. Thanks, Mike. We won't take any more of your thunder.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councilmember Scarborough. We have a couple of department reports this evening, starting off with the Community Development Department update. Mr. Swanson.
Thank you. Sorry. So in your packets, you have the standard report that we send out every month along with the development map. I don't believe there's any change in the development map this time around. But I also, in addition to what's in your packet, I wanted to update you on Office of Financial Management just released their five-year population projections. And so just starting off with Snohomish County, I wanted to kind of show you a little about what this means. And so if you look at the graph, you essentially have a high, medium, and low projection. The solid, let me scroll down a little bit here. There we go. So the solid is the 2017 projections, and the dashed are the old 2012 projections. And so you can see that they were statewide, but for Snohomish County, depending on what year and timeline you go off of, once you get 2040, they were off by about 60,000 people. And so that's 60,000 additional people that will be coming to Snohomish County by by 2040. And these numbers are important to us because these updates, this is what we base all of our population projections off of, and our growth patterns and what the county uses and what we're delegated down to for our growth projections. And so as these increase, it has that effect on the county where now the county needs to accommodate for that additional growth. The good news is the way that GMA is written is you don't have to do any updates just as long as your projections are in between those high and low lines. And so because the previous 2012 projections fall within that, we go by the, I'm sorry, back up a little bit, we go by the median projection. We're required to go by the in between the high and low. Because we fall in between those two areas, we don't have to do any adjustments. They will be doing, like I said, they're doing them every 5 years, and so our comp plan cycle happens after the next, I think, 2022 projections that go there. And I can show you kind of statewide what this means. So for Washington State, the overall increase is approximately 400,000 people. And you'll see that King County took the bulk of that increase over that period of time. One of the big things that Office of Spanish Management recognized is they didn't account for those transfers into Washington State from out of state. And so they underestimated that group coming in. And that's where your big change is. And so you see King County is the biggest at approximately, they're taking about 50% of that new growth there. Kitsap County, you see, is approximately the same. Pierce and Snohomish County, Snohomish is a little higher than Pierce, but they're taking approximately 13% of that, where King County is taking 58% of that overall state growth. And then finally, this is kind of an interesting slide. So this is Snohomish County and the population, median population projections over this period of time. So you can see in 2007 pre-recession where the numbers were going with the red line there. And then you have 2012, your post-recession numbers drop well below that and go back up. Now in 2017, our line has married back up with that pre-recession 2017 median projection line. So we're essentially back on that same course that we were pre-recession. If anybody wants any, I can email this PowerPoint. There's more information here that I'm going over. And then Office of Financial Management, if you go to their webpage, they have a lot of information and background data on how they came up with these numbers. Any questions?
Would anybody, yeah, can you go ahead and forward a copy of the PowerPoint presentation to me and the council?
Absolutely.
Great. And would you be, is that something that you can make available also to the planning commission?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions? Councilmember Cutback.
Just a question. So the Snohomish County data, so then what does that mean for Monroe?
So that's yet to be determined. So right now, the way it works is throughout the county, when, and this involves Puget Sound Regional Council and the county as far as population allocation. And so one thing that's come out of the city of Everett, I go through these planning advisory committee meetings where it's the planning directors of Snohomish County get together once every couple months and we all discuss the current issues and things get passed down. One thing that Everett keeps beating the drum on is last time that the new growth allocation was assigned, you dumped everything on Everett. And basically, it's not right for a couple reasons, is they can't support the targets that they're putting on the city of Everett, saying that we're not building that fast, and so we can't support this overall population growth. And so if Everett kind of keeps pushing that and pushing out the additional population that's being assigned to them, that's going to fall out on other cities, you know, Monroe, Marysville, all the other Snohomish County cities. And so it's all going to depend on how that plays out once we hit that 2022 OFM population projection and we go through our comp plan, then our buildable lands process, and then how that allocation works out. So it could mean that additional population is assigned to the city of Monroe, where we'd have to accommodate for additional population. It could not. We just haven't got to that phase yet. But if everybody's essentially taking their fair share of this growth in Snohomish County, Monroe's population allocation would increase.
But how do they know where people actually go?
That part is based off historic data, but they don't know, and that's part of why City of Everett was crying foul, is you can't just say, well, you're the biggest city, so
you're going to take them all.
Exactly. They're saying, A, we can't support it, and B, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as far as they're not coming and moving to the city of Everett, so why don't we get a little more realistic population goal going?
Well, I guess that's what I would want us to be aware of then. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we don't get dubbed on something that we don't think is going to happen, or it doesn't seem to be realistic with the trend of people moving here.
Right, and we're going through that exercise right now, independent of the county, and doing our own buildable lands analysis, and so we'll have our data to back up, or, you know, if Snohomish County, I think they've been okay in the past, I don't think there's been any real big dispute. If they, for some reason, completely go off the rails or go in a completely different direction with trying to assign us a huge population or go in some other direction of what our data is showing, we'll at least have something to support that.
Yeah, I mean, them not having done it in the past, this population kind of growth in Washington State, I mean, in our counties, that's a big deal. I mean, like, we're growing more
rapidly
than,
absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. This is just kind of out of the blue, but this is at my
yes.
It kind of has to do with everything you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
So can someone speak to this?
Yeah. We were going to talk about that a little bit later when we get to the administrative report.
Okay. Thanks.
So one of the concerns that I have is that if Everett is saying that they're not going to take additional growth, and if the actual incorporated cities aren't going to be taking the actual growth, that the growth ends up going in unincorporated Snohomish County. It is a concern to me that I want to make certain that the people that want to live in cities with a, you know, with a mayor and a council and law enforcement and so on and so forth. So, you know, as we talk about the city of Everett taking or not taking growth and you know, the Mill Creeks and the Linwoods and, you know, the Edmonds and Monroes of the rest of the county, that's one thing that really concerns me. I'm concerned about more growth going into unincorporated areas and then areas like ours not giving the attention that it should with things like widening 522 to accommodate growth. We have sewer, we have water, we have a police department. We are properly set up to handle an urban level population. That's one thing, as you're encountering these sorts of conversations, it's important to me to not find ourselves in a situation where cities are saying we're not going to accept the growth in our planning and then have all that growth go into unincorporated county and the resultant impacts associated with that upon the cities. So.
Right, and I think that there's going to be some truths that come out as far as, you know, I mean, Marysville is going crazy as far as growth. And so I'm not sure if that was fully realized when they assigned the numbers last year. So it may be that, wow, Marysville really took on a lot more growth than we thought, you know, and it gets allocated that way. Again, what I shared with you about the city of Everett is one person's voice. I understand him saying, you know, don't allocate something that's not realistic. Right. I get that part. I don't think he's saying stop giving us growth. I think they really want to grow. They want the multifamily, but they're just not seeing it. I mean, as much as even Marysville in some, you know, on a proportionate level.
Okay.
So I don't think they're pulling away from it at all. They just want something a little more realistic coming on.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Anything else, Council? All right. Thank you. The other department we have that's reporting out this evening is our Parks and Recreation Department. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So in the report, which is in the agenda packets that you have and is posted on our website, one of the items for parks for this month is the master plans for Cabin Site and Lakeside Park. So where we're at is this Thursday at the Park Board meeting, the executive summary of the park plan will be presented by HPB to the Park Board for their comments, and the summary will walk them through the Cabin Site, Lakeside Park master plan development from the early concept diagrams to the final master plans. And it'll include all the supporting reports and analysis, cost estimates, and funding opportunities. So after the Park Board reviews it, we hope they would make a recommendation to you, to the Council. And then we have scheduled for February 6th for the same thing, for the HPB to make presentation of that final executive summary to the Council as well. And then we'll be moving into, seeking approval of the master plans, and then we would later then formally adopt it through the process of getting into the comprehensive plan, and that would be
The timeline on that is about then. Is it this fall for 2019?
For 19, yes, yes. Adopted.
It would be formally adopted into the Monroe's comprehensive plan. So the other item is the exercise station dedication.
Mr. Farrell, before you move on, Councilmember Hanford?
I can wait till the end.
Okay, please continue, Mr. Farrell.
All right. Yeah, the exercise station's dedication at Sky Coach River Park. I know last week I was giving the weather report. I think that was pretty accurate. It did stop raining, but it was correct. And then you would have needed waders for a couple of those stations, as you know. There's some puddling there. But it was very windy, and the wind was at the back of the mayor and the other speakers, so we didn't need a PA system. But anyways, thank you. I really appreciate your support. Definitely appreciate the Snohomish County's Small Capital Projects Partnership Grant Program, which provide funding for that and partnering with Monroe Boys and Girls Club on that. So they're neat, and people are using them, in the winter here. And so it's a good thing for the park. And as Councilmember Rasmussen mentioned, it would be something that I envision that we would have exercise stations in one of our other community parks as well. Next item is we are going to be having an open house because we really want to get some public input on concepts for replacing the playground at Sky River Park. So we have that in our budget for this year as a capital replacement. So on Wednesday evening, January 31st, in here, from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., there'll be a brief presentation, just going through features and concepts, and there'll probably be some examples of what happened at Lake Tye. It was a pretty successful replacement there with the playground. And actually, on a side note, Game Time's, the national manufacturer of that equipment, that Lake Tye Park is in the magazine, or I'm sorry, the catalog for 2018, and they even named that actual playground the Lake Tye, so people can water the Lake Tye for the Game Time. The point of this open house is again to invite the public and get their input. This is a great opportunity for comments and suggestions. All ideas will be welcome, and it'll help us to create that final design. So then we expect it to kind of go through a similar timeline as the Lake Tye one, so where we hope to get started on it this spring and finish the project this summer, Sky River Park. And then I believe I mentioned last week, and so it's in the report, about the fact that we, Monroe, are hosting Nautique's WWA U.S. Wakeboard National Championships at Lake Tye Park. So that's going to be the weekend of July 25th to 28th. And the other stops include, I think I mentioned, Australia, Mexico, Florida, Japan, and Monroe. So very nice. Nice that we're in that great company at this event. So looking forward to it. And all of these events are televised by NBC Sports Network. So that's another great marketing opportunity for our town. The last item I have on the monthly report is the unmarked trails inspections, and just something to note, I think last month was the same thing, we had some periods of flooding, so that would hinder our weekly inspections. So a couple of weeks in December it didn't occur, but there are the leaks in there. And we give an average, I've been doing an average for the month, which there's just 2 weeks we're averaging, and then the prior month's average. And as I was looking through this, I think I'm realizing now, since we've done this for just about a year, I think I'll have a running average too, so you can see if it's going like this, or if it's going like that, or just going like this. So it's going to go something, because all the parks we have litter pickup, and
it's going to go something out like that.
And that's all I have. So
thank you, councilmembers. Councilmember Hanford.
Thanks. Thank you, Mike. Just appreciate everything you do. And I know you're running lean with your department, but appreciate what you're doing. So
thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, councilmember Cutback.
Jamie Bindle, when is it?
That is the last Sunday in January. So that's
28.
10 or 11 30.
10? Okay.
Yeah, you can register by going into Monroe this week. There's a link right there to hit register.
So we have that on Monroe this week. It's on the website. And I believe it's already been out on our Monroe Facebook as well as far as announcements. So keep them.
Thank you.
Promoting that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I appreciate you, Councilmember Hand, for bringing up the running lean part in the Parks Department, because I know that is one something that we do want to take a look at in the HR Finance Committee as we look at long-term 5-6 year plans. Appreciate everything. And yeah, I was thinking trend line on the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anything further for Mr. Carroll? All right, seeing none. Thank you very much. So let's go ahead and go around with the rest of staff. Mr. Worthen.
Tonight.
Mr. Farrell, anything further? Okay, Mr. Swanson, anything further? Ms. Hasser?
Nothing tonight.
Okay, Mr. Feilberg?
Nothing tonight.
Okay, and Chief Quinzer?
I'll break the trend. Yes, I have something tonight. Today, we recovered 3 stolen vehicles in the city of Monroe. And our PROAC crew did this. 2 of them were occupied. One of the stolen was freshly stolen out of Salton. And they were located primarily in the same area as the occupied suspects resided. So next time we have a stolen vehicle, we know where to go look. Also, early this morning, 6 o'clock, we had a train pedestrian fatality. Many of you are already aware of it. The individual was in the tracks. He was struck by the train and knocked off the bridge that goes across Woods Creek, and we recovered the individual about 20 minutes after 8 this morning. So the intersection of Main Street and near Highway 2 was blocked by the train for probably until nearly 10 o'clock this morning, but the other intersections were wide open. And there was also some Amtrak trains that were, I believe they were waiting in Snohomish, waiting for us to clear the track so that they could go to. So anyway, I hope that is something we don't have to do in the future. So that's all.
Thank you, Chief. All right, we're going to go ahead and come on up here. For me, you'll note in the mayor's report that there's some information there in Monroe this week, including the Jamie Bendel Run and the wakeboard event that Mr. Farrell mentioned. Please note also that, next week we have a study session. Councilmember Rasmussen brought up where to sit. Do any of the council members have any concerns about sitting at the dais or sitting down on the floor? We can do either one. Most study session formats that I'm aware of are down at the floor, but it doesn't mean that we need to do them like that. So, Councilmember Kudovac?
Oh, he was first.
I'm sorry, Councilmember Scarborough.
I'll echo some of Councilman Rasmussen's concern. And if Councilman Camp were here, he'd have the same one since he brought it up last week when we didn't have information at our stations to talk to. As I recall, when we had the ATV conversation, we had to bring in chairs all along here. People sat up here because we were down there. And I'm not against it. I'm just not sure if it's advantageous to us or not. So that'd be my input.
Okay, sounds good. Councilmember Cutback?
I actually like sitting down in that format. I think it changes the tenor when we're down with on the floor and face to face around a different table. I don't know if there's any barrier to staff, making sure that staff join that table, because I did notice that sometimes staff are on the just sitting on the out. So I would prefer that staff sit around the table with us and we're working on issues, whether they're presenting or not, but be around the table. So the point is, I think we need to have printed material if we're going to be down there
if we don't have computer access. It was on the screen too, but recognizing that after the fact, I print my stack out because I'm old school. I like to read it thoroughly so I can write notes on this. So I had it printed, but I could see that would be an issue. You want to have the documents ready. I do think that when we have specific topics or items that we know are going to create a lot of people, then we might adjust for that night. But I actually like the format down there.
Okay.
I think that's the way the city did it. Maybe when you were on council and I was part of the community that attended some of those, and it gave me a different feel as a community member to be down there with council members working on something or being involved with something versus sitting up here and being in the crowd. So
okay.
I actually like it, but I do think we need to hammer out a few of the things that didn't go as smooth.
Okay. A couple of responses on those, just not to be defensive, but to just share some thoughts. So definitely having the printed materials makes sense until we have more mobile network and devices. Also, by changing the format, if the committee and the council decides to change the rules of procedure, we wouldn't have action items on the agenda. So you potentially would still have, I think, we still have public comment. But aside from that, everything else would be pretty much around the table. The reason why we only have certain staff members at the table is that those staff members that aren't involved in the study session don't even need to be here on those evenings. So that's why those people that are still here might be sitting on the outside. And you're right, if we have something where we anticipate a lot of people coming to listen, having the meeting down on the floor might not work as well as up here. So that would be a little bit of explanation on some of those points. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. So I'm fine maybe trying it down there if we have the printed material.
Okay.
But yeah. Unfortunately, the last meeting was kind of rough.
Okay, sounds good. Councilmember Gamble, I see you're going to push your light, so.
Yeah, I don't care. I think it works just fine. I have a phone. I can get all the documents down there on my phone, so.
Okay, so next week is supposed to be a study session. Next week is a study session. We've got our county executive coming in and presenting, and then is the amend council rules of procedure, is that an action item, or is that just a discussion around the table?
It was planned for an action item. That was assuming that we did come out of legislative affairs with a recommendation. However, we did not actually get to discuss that item.
Okay.
So it could certainly be put as a study session item, although already we do have a big night with two of the trainings, which I believe, I don't know how long Brad's trainings will take, but I know mine will be 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
So it counts as that. Sorry for that.
Didn't you say half an hour last week? I feel like you're just complaining.
Believe me, we're not going to do the 40-minute video on records retention. No.
Okay, so we will have the county executive here to speak. The amend council rules of procedure will be moved. Department reports for court, and then we have elected officials training, which is going to be some time. Would you prefer to be sitting up here or down there for what sounds like an hour plus of training?
2 hours. I'm hearing from Brad. So an hour for Brad, an hour for me.
We move these seats down there. All right, not hearing a preference one way or another, I'll go ahead and work with staff and figure out whether down there or up there is better for next week. All right, and then I'll talk with staff a little bit more about the format. I think that when we move into just study sessions, less action, it may take on a different way of doing things. But if we do have things down on the floor, we'll make certain we've got the material there for you. And see, anything else? Last week I attended a meeting for Marry Me in Monroe, which I think that Deborah, Ms. Knight, will go through a little bit, I think, in a couple minutes. You do have at your positions a flyer that was sent to you that I have relocated. Thank you. And that is, you're invited to the Snohomish County Vision 2050 Summit on February 15th. It's from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And so if you would like to go, if you could email, who should I email?
They can email Pam Baker.
Okay, so go ahead and email Pam Baker, let her know that you'd like to be involved. There's some information on the back. I think that these sorts of events are really good to go to for us to make certain that people here from Monroe know that we're interested in how land use and the future vision of our community, you know, is going to be impacted. You know, sharing what our thoughts are, I think it's important for us to attend these. So I will be going myself, but if you could let Ms. Baker know, she'll coordinate with Ms. Atkinson to make certain we do a notice of potential quorum if necessary. Okay. All right. You also had an open house at your positions and for the Sky River Park playground replacement. And so if you are going to, this is an open house, so you can just cycle through. Will we be doing a notice of potential quorum for this?
Yeah, okay.
So you might want to put that on your calendars as well. Does anybody have any questions for me? Councilmember Gamble?
Just a question on the growing together. Are you going to be there?
Yes, I will be attending, yes.
Okay, because I noticed on the breakout session or in the email, they had the mayor of Arlington speaking in one breakout, and then the mayor of, it was very I-5 centric. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody saw that. It would be good if we had some representation from the side, because I think there was one breakout session, which was the latter, on differences to what was being proposed or things that needed to call, and we need to make sure that we have representation in that session specifically.
I think that would be good. Yes. So, anything further from council members? Okay. And I think that's all that I have right now. Ms. Knight?
So it sounds like there are a couple of upcoming agenda items. We will be talking about the layout for council chambers in general at your January 30th workshop, where we'll have some alternatives for renovations to council chambers, so we can include that conversation about what does that study session format look like. Collective bargaining agreement, we'll be back to you on January 23rd. Parking regulations, back to you on February 6th. The council rules of procedure, we just addressed on February 13th study session. And then the other items for the council's workshop will be the five-year forecast assumptions. So the finance committee got a brief review of those assumptions. We're looking for council members to weigh in. That'll help us then craft what that five-year forecast looks like. We'll bring that forecast back to you in June prior to developing out the budget. We'll also be talking with you about the six-year strategic plan. So we're really interested in getting council feedback on what are the things we're wanting to do in the next 6 years. So that's three budget cycles and a two-year budget process. And then finally, North Kelsey debt service funding alternatives for 2020, which will also drive our budgets for 2019 and 2020 as we look to try and save up that last debt service payment. For those that registered for the Legislative Action Conference, I think that's Councilmember Scarborough and Cutaback, Mayor and myself, and then Mr. Swanson. I did reserve the Ford Explorer, so if we do want to carpool down together on that morning, just let me know and we can take a head count, but it will fit us all in the same vehicle if we want to just carpool together. I want to give kudos to the police department and to Public Works. The train versus pedestrian accident that happened this morning, the mayor texted me really early on. We got information out on Facebook, and I know I had a number of community members come up to me and just express their appreciation that we're doing a much better job at kind of pushing out information so there's not a void and a vacuum and people just get to make things up about what's happening. So I appreciate it. It's been a real help to have that contact through Facebook page. So thank you, Chief, to your staff members, particularly who did the press release on that. I think that was picked up right away, too, by Everett Herald and a couple others. The Economic Development Advisory Board had its first meeting last Thursday. Our first two meetings, January and February, are really just about providing kind of base background information so we can have in March then that real strategic discussion about what are our economic development priorities from a community perspective. And I thought our first meeting was very good, very well attended. We had a communications problem, so there were some folks that are ad hoc members. Development, Downtown Monroe Association were one, and then Everett Community College. So we're making sure that we're reaching back out to those folks and making sure that they know that they're invited to the meeting in February so we can have a really robust discussion in March. So that was good. The mayor briefly mentioned the meeting that he sat in then on Thursday, which was what we're calling our Choose Monroe group, right? And so that includes the Chamber, Downtown Monroe Association, and then kind of all of our sub-consultants that are participating and helping us do marketing. We also have participation from the marketing team at the fairgrounds, and we're reviewing calendars and coordinating and then starting to put together our Choose Monroe magazine. So we'll be back in front of council in early February with some proposals around a request for proposal process for a recommendation on who to select to help us with that. So things are moving along, I think, quite well, and very, very pleased with the coordination. I think one of the consultants that the Downtown Monroe Association brought, Sarah
Dillon Jensen. She's with Mocking Jay Press.
Thank you.
Yeah, and she's the event coordinator we hired.
For the Marry Me in Monroe and for the Hoedown. But what I wanted to say about her was that she also does work in other communities, and she was just really, really impressed with how well this community works together in order to achieve its overall goals, and that was the purpose of mentioning Sarah. So I think from economic development perspective, where things are moving right along, so we should see some results from those efforts near mid-year.
Any questions for Ms. Knight?
No.
And Chief and Ms. Knight, both thank you and your staffs for working together on the incident today. I really appreciate everything you guys did. So thank you on that. All right, legislative update. Oh, I'm sorry, let's move again.
I just have one thing for the extended agenda. Right now, it looks like I'm going to be out of town on business on the 6th.
Okay. We'll go ahead and mark you down as out on the 6th of February. All right, and do we have a committee meeting next week? We do. We have a P4 committee that begins at 6 o'clock, and that has WATVs in the Parks and Rec District. Is that going to be held in here for the committee meeting?
We could. I don't know that we discussed where that would be held.
Okay.
I think depending on the number of
people that are there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for those of you that show up a little bit early, if there is a committee meeting going on here, just be aware that there's a committee meeting going on here. All right. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry, legislative update.
So obviously not much happening yet, just because we're only a week and a half into the existing legislative session. We are tracking a couple of different bills. One that has been floated by the Master Builders as an affordable housing bill, which would provide a minimum density requirement of 6 units per acre, meaning the city wouldn't have any choice. That would be our minimum density requirement. So we are tracking that. There's a second bill also that has been proposed that would limit funding for Main Street programs to communities in rural counties, and so we're also tracking that one too to make sure that they understand that we've got specific concerns wanting to ensure that there's a broad array of funding options for organizations that are supporting downtowns, including ours. So those are the only two bills that we're tracking. Bill cutoff is actually just 4 weeks in, so bills have to make it out of committee by February 2nd in order to kind of proceed forward. And then if they have fiscal impacts, then they think they've got another 5 days after that, so February 7th.
Okay, any questions on the lobbyist report from council members? All right, seeing none. Anything further, Ms. Day?
Nothing for me.
Okay, we do have a need for an executive session this evening. It's agency litigation, RCW 42-30-110, subsection 1, subsection I. We do have 10 minutes listed. Do we feel 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to call it for 5 minutes with litigation, Okay, so we will go with 10 minutes then. We're in executive session for 10 minutes with action.
Yeah,
Most likely to follow. Thank you.
That's a blessing. Yeah, good.
Okay, thank you. We are back out of executive session. And Councilmember Gamble.
I'd like to move to add an agenda to the, or an item to the agenda in reference to an offer of judgment in the Bremner litigation.
Second. I have a motion to add an item to the agenda from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Gamble.
I move that the City Council authorize the Mayor and the City Attorney to convey an offer of judgment to the plaintiff in the preliminary litigation up to the amount recommended in executive session.
Second. Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Okay, we have no further business this evening. Councilmember Hanford?
I move to adjourn.
I agree.
We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. We're adjourned. Have a great evening. Thank you for your service, everybody.
Thank you.